May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I had Bracken read that whole chapter because I know I'm supposed to speak out of this chapter because I've been hanging out here for a few days, but I just don't have a clue what part. I was hoping I'd get a clue once he read through it. It's been interesting this week, too, in my prayer time. This is what God does with me a lot. And it'll go on until I glean all the things that he wants me to say. He'll just tell me a certain passage of scripture or chapter, and that becomes our starter sentence for conversation until that conversation ends, because prayer is a conversation. And so this is how we dialogue. We read, I ask questions, I pray about the things that he answers in light of it. And this has been a really fascinating chapter to me. There's a place, just to remind us. And I realize now, I didn't realize just now, like, what? Why Luke, Mark chapter 11? Well, next week is Holy Week, and this is sort of the beginning days of Holy Week. It's in Mark chapter 11. But this is what Jesus says about himself, and Philip says in John 14, verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? But Jesus didn't say he was the Father. He just said, but when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when you say, show us the Father, that's what I've been doing for all this time together, for 3.5 years. I've been showing you the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Again, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. And because I've allowed the Father in me to do his works, I've shown you the Father. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Pentecost, men of Israel, listen to these words, Jesus the Nazarene, a man approved to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. As you know, you're all familiar with the fact that Jesus said that he only did those things he saw the Father doing. And he only said those things he heard the Father saying. And that Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him. And therefore, it was the Father who did the works in him and did the works through him. Jesus came as the author and the perfecter of faith. He didn't just come to teach about faith. He came and demonstrated a life of faith. He was never anything less than God, 100%. But he emptied himself and lived on earth as a spirit-filled man to demonstrate to us what a relationship and union with God is supposed to look like. Because later in that same chapter in John 14, Jesus says, he's just got through saying, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, therefore the works that I do is the Father doing the works. I've shown you the Father. John 1:18 says that Jesus came to explain, to put the Father on display. And then it says later that just as Jesus has been the Father and the Father's been in him, we're now in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Why? So that we might show the world Jesus, that Jesus might do his works in and through us. As a matter of fact, he says in John 14, after verse 10, do you believe that I'm in the Father? Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. The works are proof of my union with the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father. Because he went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, who makes our union with Christ real, me in Christ, Christ in me, that the works that I do are intended to demonstrate, to show people Jesus. This is what Jesus is like. Now, I say all that, pretty much taught up my whole lesson. is to say, is it even you in your own Bible study, when you go back and you read Mark chapter 11, you see Christ just moving in extraordinary boldness and authority. But he didn't do any of those things on his own. He never did anything on his own initiative. He said that over and over again in John chapter 4, verse 30, John chapter 5, verse 18, 19, verse 5, verse 28, 8, 28, 10, 49, 14, 10. He didn't do anything on his own initiative. And so as Jesus does what he does in Mark chapter 11, you have to remember what Jesus' priority is. Again, Jesus is not only giving lecture to his disciples, but he's also doing lab. He's demonstrating to them what a life in union with God's supposed to look like, a spirit-filled life supposed to look like, by faith. And so he didn't do any of these things in Mark chapter 11. He didn't have foresight, seeing as God, seeing this cult, and seeing that there are going to be people there and they're going to ask you the question, you tell them the Lord has need of it. That came from the Father. That was Jesus operating in words of knowledge. It was a prophetic declaration. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree was withered, he said it was the Father doing the works through him. He simply lent his humanity to the Father, and by the Holy Spirit that was done. When they ask him the question about what authority do you do these things, I love what Jesus did, because Jesus basically says, if you can't discern what's from heaven and what's from men, then I'm not going to defend myself to you. What's the point? He asked him a question. He said, when John the Baptist's baptism from God, from heaven, or is it from men? And they couldn't answer. They were scared to answer. And Jesus was basically putting them on the spot, saying, if you can't discern what's from heaven, I'm not going to spend my time defending what I do. Because I only bear witness to those things which I see and hear. Those things, he who comes from above is above all. You can't get it. I've learned over the years to stop defending myself to Christians concerning charismatic things and signs and wonders, because they can't discern the difference between heaven, what comes from heaven, what comes from men. That's a waste of time. But here's what I love. There's a lot of stuff I love in this chapter. But it says this in chapter 11, that the great Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What does it mean to come in the name of the Lord? What we just described. It's the Father in him doing his works. That Jesus came carrying the life of the Father by the Holy Spirit. It's as if the Father was showing up in the person of Christ, and Jesus was revealing the Father, showing the Father. That's what it means to do something in Jesus' name. That I come to a situation where I come in prayer in union with Christ as if I were him. I'm not him, but as if I were him because I'm in union with him. I come representing him, but more than just representing him, I come in union with him. And I'm invoking his presence, his person, and his nature. Remember again what it said in Acts chapter 3, when they healed the man by the gate beautiful, Peter said, it's not by our piety or by our power that this man was healed, but it was the name of Jesus. So we're not resting in our own independent spirituality or in our power, but in his. Aren't you grateful that you approach God resting in his spirituality? Now, we walk in union with that, right? We surrender to his spirituality. It's the only way you're going to ever be spiritual, unless you just simply learn to imitate Christ. I'd much rather manifest Christ than imitate him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the coming of the kingdom. The way this is written grammatically is really not good, because it's the same tenses and stuff. It literally is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, carrying the Father, being the instrument with the Father now, is manifesting. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the coming of the kingdom. That's not a futuristic thing. What they're saying is, because Jesus came in the name of the Father, in union with the Father, showing us the Father, the Father's life in union with him being manifested through him. Jesus came in the name of the Father. Therefore, whenever he came, the kingdom came with him. He did a bunch of bold stuff. in faith. Because everything he did in the name of the Father. And when he did it in the name of the Father, he released the kingdom of heaven. Every time you come into any situation or any circumstance or minister to any person and you come in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven comes with you and is released in that circumstance and all the resources of heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll talk about this more and more, but I love the fact that they were blown away that the fig tree actually was withered. Now Jesus spoke to the fig tree as if the fig tree could hear. And then when they saw it was withered, they said, Lord, the thing you cursed is actually withered. And Jesus said, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you. If you'll just say to this, now I'm not talking about the positive confession you have when you want, but we'll look at that another time, but it's interesting. He said, I came to teach you. Quit being mesmerized by what I do. He says, the Father sent me, so send I you. The works that I've done, you'll do even greater.